This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So our theme for this year is Follow Me. Yep. And there are we're looking at three dimensions to the idea of follow me, of being a disciple of Jesus. Three dimensions: the dimension of being with Jesus, the dimension of becoming like Jesus, becoming like our rabbi, and the dimension of doing what Jesus did. And our first few weeks have been introducing that whole idea, and now we're entering a six-week series. Yes, that's exciting. Based on being with Jesus. And we're going to look over those 6 weeks. We could have chosen a dozen more what they might call practices of the way. Practices, things that you can do that help you be with Jesus. We've chosen six. We're going to do one each over the next 6 weeks. We could do a whole series on each of them. They are profound and deep things which will help you. I'm aware that for some people, that whole what should we call it? That hinting at intimacy is difficult. In our society, it's complicated by over-sexualization of anything to do with personal relationships. And especially in England, with our stiff upper Yorkshire lip, we sometimes find it difficult to engage with the intimacy and the emotion that our Creator God extends towards us. If that's you, and it's definitely me, then I would encourage you to push through this. What we're talking about, these practices, these things that we want to do, are not easy, soft options. They're not emotional, cuddly things. They are tough. To do this is tough. It's courageous. It takes courage to push through that thought process and to give the time and to rearrange your life to give priority to Jesus. It's a very challenging thing. It'll change you. It'll be require strength and perseverance. It's not an easy thing to do. But when there is somebody really attractive in your life, somebody who seems to get you, somebody who seems to know you, somebody who seems to be always for you, even though they know you, somebody who is incredibly wise and gracious and fun, somebody in whose presence you're energized and given life, somebody who seems to be able to deal with the shame that you feel and the guilt that you carry and makes you a much better person. Somebody powerful, unafraid of anyone or anything else. When there's someone like that in your life, you just want to be with them. So in this six-week series, we're going to look at different ways of being with Jesus. Just think a minute for about your own personal relationships. The ones that work and the ones that don't or haven't worked. What's going on in there? Why do they work? Why don't they work? These six practices, and I realize I've come up with, have you got the how to spend time? It's in my bag underneath all those things. These six practices are characteristics of building relationships that work. So they've got parallels in our own personal relationships with each other. But we're talking about the relationship with Jesus. Thank you. If you haven't got your copy of this, please, there's a free copy. Yes, free copy for you, which you could pick up on your way out from Hannah, who is staring at me through the window, though she doesn't know I'm talking about her. Oh, yes, she does. She can hear. Pick up one of these on your way out if you haven't got one already. And if you know somebody who could use one, please take one for them as well. And where these six practices are quite closely associated with the six or seven practical things that they recommend you do in here. So this is our textbook for the next 6 weeks. The six things are reading the Bible. That's what I'm going to do today. I know that we spent all last year on that theme, but we're going to focus on something we didn't do very much of last year, not widely. And that correlates with when somebody you love or you sends you an email or a letter and you want to read about what they're saying to you. It's part of that way of communication, of reading a conversation, reading what the other person in the relationship is trying to say to you. The second thing we're going to look at next week is prayer, and that's about when we have a conversation with somebody, isn't it? It's the ongoing conversation that we have with the Lord Jesus. How do you pray? And we'll look at a couple of other things to do with that. We spent a whole year on prayer 2 years ago, so we have been there, but there's more to learn. In week three, we're going to be looking at silence and solitude, being with somebody without having to do or say anything. That's the one that's the most courageous. You can be really tough in business and a great sports person, high intellect, lots of friends, but being silent and on your own before your Creator, that takes courage. Week four, we'll look at reflection and contemplation, how we choose to think about other people in our relationships, but how do we do that with Jesus? And then we're going to, in week five, look at the ongoing invitation of the Holy Spirit into our lives. I talked a few weeks ago about attending to the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. We're going to expand on that. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. And then the last one will be knowing God with us. So there's the presence of God, sensing His presence with us, but then that does something to us and sends us out and we go out differently. Okay? So I'm going to be doing some of those. Helen will be teaching one of those. Liz will be teaching a couple of them over the next 6 weeks. Yeah? Good? Yeah? Go for it. Get stuck in. Make sure you've got this booklet. We're going to turn to reading the Bible. We learned a lot about this last year. This is the one I'm going to do with today. We just scratched the surface. If you are, we did read the Bible in a year, and several people said to me, actually, David, I'm reading the Bible in 2 years, which is fine. So some of you are halfway through. You're around about Malachi, and that's fine. And there's also a WhatsApp group called Word for 2020. If you want to join that group, there's some guided readings and thinkings to pick up on what we did last year and carry on. And if you want to go a bit deeper and learn a bit more, then join the Vineyard Training Group, which they're studying Luke and Acts in particular. Now, one of my favorite theologians of the last century, I wasn't there all the way through, but I've read a lot about him, is a guy called Karl Barth. He's a Swiss pastor theologian, outstanding Christian and thinker. Possibly the theologian of the 20th century. Many people would say that. And he helped us to see the Bible in a completely different way. And one of the ways he talked about was that we don't try and read the Bible to pull God out of the pages and into our lives, which is intuitively what a lot of us do. We think of it like a car manual or a guide to banking or something. You know, I've got a question, I'll look in here and get the answer into my life. He taught us to just open the book and find that we're caught off guard. That rather than us asking questions of the book, it's asking questions of us. It's drawing us into a different reality. It's like walking through the wardrobe. He used this illustration. Let me share with you a sort of version of it. So imagine that we're all living in a huge warehouse. A huge warehouse. We're born, we live, and we die in this warehouse, and we have all we need, and we're perfectly comfortable. There are no exits to this warehouse, but there are windows, but these are dirty, and they've been covered with dust and grime over the years because nobody ever looks out of them. Why would they? The warehouse has got everything we need. It's everything that we've ever wanted is here in our warehouse. Why would we want to look out the windows? But one day, a young boy drags a stool up to the window, scrapes off the dirt, and looks out, and he sees people walking in the streets. And he calls to his friends. He says, come and look out this window. See what you can see. They're people. They never knew that a world could exist or did exist outside of the warehouse. Then as they're watching, they notice that these people start pointing to the sky. And others come running and they look at the sky. And the children look up and all they can see is the roof of the warehouse. That's all they've ever seen. And they keep looking outside and they keep looking up. And they eventually get bored of all these people acting weird, pointing up at nothing, getting excited. Why bother stopping for no reason at all, pointing at nothing at all, and making such a big deal out of nothing? But the people in the street were looking at the sky. They could see the heavens and everything in the heavens. Maybe a flock of geese flying south, or a cumulus nimbus clouds, beautiful, or an airplane doing spirals. The people in the warehouse have no heavens, just a roof. What would happen if one day that boy had cut a hole in the side of the warehouse wall and got out, and then he and his child friends discovered the immense expanse of sky above them and the grand horizon spreading out before them? And that's what happens when we open the Bible. We suddenly discover a new vista, skies above, horizons in the distance. A world of God, a world of creation, a world of salvation. Life in the warehouse never prepared us for that. The adults in the warehouse scoff, of course. Here in the warehouse, we're in control. We want to keep it that way. How do we cut a door out of the warehouse and discover those extra dimensions of God's creation and his being? The Bible is one of the key ways. We open the scriptures and it takes us away from our warehouse out into the God's world. And one such way of doing that is a practice called Lectio Divina. Some of you will be familiar with this. It's the Latin for spiritual reading. I'm going to do a very quick introduction to it today, and we're going to do it together. Some of you are immediately going, oh, I'm not. Just bear with me. Push through it. It's only 15 minutes of your life. You'll get through this, and it'll be a benefit to you, I promise. If you want to look into it more detail, go online or go onto our website, type in Lectio Divina, and there's some introductions to some other traditional versions of it. Or talk to Mark Burgess. He's been leading a group that uses this a lot over the last, couple of years? Longer than that, probably. So we're going to do some spiritual reading together now. And it's a simple way to give you a taste. We don't really have time to do it properly, and you're meant to be on your own when you do it, so you're going to be distracted by the people near you and by the roof and by the sirens outside. My able helpers are going to give out these. Some of you may already have them. Take one. If you lead a house group, make sure your house group has got enough, because you'll be hopefully doing it this week in your small group, in your growth group. By the way, those of you who know Sarah of Sally and David Wallace, she designed these some years ago, just as a sort of for us, really, and it ends up being thousands of these all around the country being used by the vineyards. You might need a pen as well, because part of Lectio Divina and any form of Bible study is to be able to write down what you feel God's saying to you. Those of you who are more comfortable with a device can use that instead. I would actually encourage you to use a real book, because it's just a real book. You can almost literally enter it, whereas when you use a screen, there's various biochemical reasons why that simply doesn't work as well for contemplative reading, for waiting. So to use a proper book. There's lots of Bibles in the pews. The blue ones are ours. You're welcome to take one if you haven't got one. Hannah, have we got any more? Could somebody ask Hannah whether we got any more out in the welcome team? Because there may not be quite enough. So would you like to find a Bible? So you need a Bible in one hand. You need this Lectio Divina in the other hand. And in your third hand, you need a pen, okay? Or a device. Has somebody popped out to ask Hannah? Matthew 5. Can you find Matthew 5, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5? It's in the New Testament. It's at the beginning of the New Testament, first of the New Testament stories. Matthew 5. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four biographies about Jesus. I want you to read Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. Let me give you some introductory things, and then I'm basically going to walk you through Lectio Divina for about 15 minutes. Okay? I would generally think that you wouldn't spend longer than that, but even 5 minutes is great. Before I do that, let me just say a couple of things. One is that spiritual reading at its simplest, is learning to hear the voice of God as we read the words. Now, that's an interesting phrase, because we're reading words, we're using eyes, your actual eyeballs are reading words, you're reading it, you're seeing it, but what you're wanting to experience is hearing. So you're looking through your eyes at words, but you're waiting to hear spiritually and sometimes audibly what's God saying. Do you get that? So this is not about reading per se, it's about reading and listening, hearing. That's what spiritual reading is. We're not looking for definitions, we're not looking for dogmas, we're not trying to use it to justify what we think. We're relinquishing control, stepping out of the warehouse and allowing God to speak to us. Now, some of you love doing things on your own. Great. So you can just go off into your bubble. If you need more space, there's a few pews empty. There's lots of space up in the balcony if you want some. I'd encourage you to move around and get somewhere in a minute. Some of you are less good at reversing into a little bubble and not bothering people around you, okay? Extroverts amongst you. And sometimes not even extroverts. If you're that type of person, please can you rein it in for 15 minutes and not talk to the people beside you, okay? Because they want to be in their bubble. Just for this little, I'm not sure if bubble is a spiritual, theological phrase, but you know what I mean. So create some physical space around you. If you're squashed in a pew, please just get up, move to another pew for a bit, go upstairs. Find some space where you're not going to be too distracted by me talking, by the lights, by the person next to you sniffling, whatever it is. So I'm not going to go through the whole thing now. I'm going to just introduce each bit. So I'm going to interrupt every few minutes and just take you on to the next bit. When you do this on your own, you don't have to do it in a linear fashion. It's not necessarily chronological. But for this moment's purpose, we're going to do this. Okay? So first of all, we find a quiet place where we won't be disturbed. That's going to be hard in here. We choose a passage of Scripture. I've given you Matthew 5 for today. And we want to ask God to be with us. So jot down that Bible reference with your pen or device. And we're just going to sit still. We're not going to read it. We're just going to sit still for a minute or two and just wait and just rest our hearts and begin to learn how to listen. Mm-hmm.